Now, in the Q&A session, the following financial professionals have asked the following questions: Alberto Gandolfi, Goldman Sachs; Arthur Sitbon, Morgan Stanley; Fernando Lafuente, Alantra; Fernando García, Royal Bank of Canada; Philippe Ourpatian, ODDO; Pedro Alves, CaixaBank; Daniel Rodríguez, Bestinver; Peter Bisztyga, Bank of America; Manuel Palomo, BNP Paribas; Javier Garrido, J.P. Morgan; Victor Peiro, GVC Gaesco; Javier Suárez, Mediobanca; Jorge Guimarães, JB Capital; James Brand, Deutsche Bank; and finally, Jorge Alonso, Bernstein. The first question is related to the guidance 2024, drivers and concept included in this given guidance for the year 2024.
As explained, our guidance for the full 2024 is now around 5,500 million euros, excluding capital gains from asset rotation. The basis of comparison of this result is net profit 4,103 million euros last year. So this growth we are expecting is in line, as I mentioned, with our interim dividend, 14%-15%, and that is driven by the positive business trend observed during the year, plus the new investment. I think we have already made 9.6 billion, as you saw, in the first 9 months, 2024. So in other words, new rate cases and higher rate bases, in production and customers, additional capacity. So I mentioned already a couple of shock wind farms, which, as you know, they are contributing in a very important manner to our result, and as well, the pumped hydro contribution as a recurring business.
The next question is related to the guidance 2025. Given that in 2024, Iberdrola is growing at double digit, the audience is wondering how sustainable this double-digit growth is. Also, what growth prospect does Iberdrola have for next year, and which businesses are going to drive this growth?
So, well, we are still in this moment working in the budget, so I think we'll give you details of the guidance in February. But when we will completed all this one, is, let's say, you will have very clear details for all those things. Nevertheless, I think we can say that now we are a year ahead of our estimate, our CMD in March. So our updated guidance for 2024 is higher than that one we fixed for 2025 in our CMD. And our expectation is that we will continue growing in 2025, clearly above this, the numbers we provide in March. It was on the range of 5.3-5.4, which is today we are announcing more for 2024. And I think that we are going to have more investment in networks, with higher tariffs. We will have more capacity fully in operation during the whole year, Saint-Brieuc, Baltic Eagle, 12 months. Higher prices that expected, those one we were planning. Lower interest rates, and I think overall, I think we are, let's say, optimistic that the numbers is going to be substantially higher than those we are announcing, for the, 2024.
Another question about targets, but in this case, about the plan 2024-2026, is still in place. The targets for this period were presented last March. However, since March, there has been several news and updates, ENW, energy prices, et cetera, and we have received some question on how these targets may change in the future.
Well, as I mentioned, we are progressing one year ahead of our plan. So, we are way ahead of our 2025 outlook. I think in 2024, we are reaching the numbers, over the numbers of, for 2025. Also, we are increasing the dividend ahead of that was planned. Also, we make all our asset rotation was planned for, is already done. And also, we have already closed relevant transaction. I think this summer was very busy. We made the ENW, we made the offshore in UK, United States. Many of those will be materialized after 2027, but I think it's already some good inputs. We will update all the numbers for the plan of after 2025 in autumn, for 2026 and beyond. And once we have already, as I mentioned, completed ENW integration, And we will have more detail of RIIO-T3 total investment required in the period. But I was saying for 2025, we have positive feelings on the direction of the new targets. I think we are, let's say, optimistic about the numbers we will present to you in the next CMD.
Next is related to the guidance given about the net debt at the end of this year. There are some cash inflows in the last quarter of the year that will play an important role, but do you have in mind a range where the net debt may end at the end of 2024, Pepe?
Pepe, can you?
Yeah, well, as I was mentioning, it will depend a lot when we finish, when we complete the Avangrid transaction. If we have completed the Avangrid transaction together with the asset rotation, the debt will end up somewhere around 51 billion, more or less, if you add the Avangrid and you deduct the asset rotation. The only thing is that we don't have a date for that. So this will depend a little bit on when this is approved. But assuming that we have approved the Avangrid transaction before the year end and we have the asset rotation, then the debt will end up somewhere around 51 billion, 51 billion euros. Okay?
Next is related to the acquisition of ENW. Could you please update us on the calendar to close the transaction? If there are any approvals pending, how it will contribute to results in 2024 and from 2025 onwards, how will the company be consolidated?
So I think everything is progressing as expected. CMA has already published its standard limitation for this kind of deals, but I think this standard has already admitted some exception, then we know this exception, which has been already agreed, important derogation on this standard limitation, including the appointment of two independent directors of the company, which we will nominate in the next few days. The only companies affected for this restriction are ScottishPower Networks, and in other words, we have no restriction to the rest of Iberdrola businesses. We are going to continue collaborating with CMA during this process, and we expect by the end of this quarter to have already all this clearance for that one. In our estimate, it's not considering in 2024 any contribution of ENW. In any case, I think it's in the period of time it will be very, very small. I think one of the reasons we would like for making already this CMD in autumn next year is precisely once we will have inside of the company, we can already make more detail about how much this can already contribute to the group, because the numbers we have already, as you can imagine, is already not as accurate as it will be when we'll be inside. But I think we will keep you updated in the moment we can already continue having more details of that one.
Next question is related to politics. What's your view on the potential outcome in the United States election, and how do you think it could affect Iberdrola's plans if the Republican Party wins?
So we have a long track record in the United States. We are for many years, we've been with different administrations from both parties. I think we've been in times of President Obama, in times of President Trump, in times of President Biden. So I think we've been with both political parties. But I think you have to be aware that our main business in the United States is networks, and networks is regulated by a state. We have already rate cases already secured for 2025, 2026 in distribution and transmission, which is depending on those states. And already, I think we are already working in some transmission investment for the second half of the decade, especially in New York for close to 3 billion, which and 1.5 billion in New England, so which is NECEC. In renewables, I think the assets are under construction. It's awarded. We have already secured for those ones the ITCs and the PTCs and the current legislation. So I think it's it's not new for us, whatever the scenario can be produced. In any case, we'll respect what the Americans will decide, as always. So we will work with whatever administration, as we have already done for many years.
Next is related to networks regulation, concretely in Spain. And a few days ago, some news came out on the return on investment to be below that companies currently are demanding. Do you think the new regulatory framework in Spain will make the investment attractive?
Well, we are, I think, all the inputs in all the organization, from the international agency, from the American administration, from the British administration. I was last week already in an investment summit of organized by the Prime Minister of Britain, and the European Union, everybody is already just transmit, and we are perceiving a strong appetite for increasing the investment in this sector. So I think there are a huge appetite for the technology companies to sign contracts for longer periods of time with prices, forward prices above the actual one, for securing the more amount of energy. And also, I think we are perceiving good appetite for repowering projects. What we have already is a positive situation with a portfolio more than 5 gigawatts to be already repowered. So I think we are already receiving positive trends, and what we are seeing is big appetite in everywhere. So I think that the money will move, whatever they will make already, more clear, stable, predictable, and attractive new frameworks, which I think another day in the meeting in London with this investment summit, it was this word was repeated several times for all the participants: stability, predictability, rule of law. And that is what is making already the attractive business to move the investment from one side to another one, knowing that the demand of more electricity in this moment worldwide is huge, especially for new demand like data centers.
Next is again related to Spain, and it's press noise about the government's intention to extend and make permanent the 1.2% revenue tax. What is your opinion on the subject, and what would be the impact for Iberdrola? Have you included this tax in your projection for the years 2025
and 2026? So I think, I insist, still we are not projection 2025-2026. So I think that should be a minor, very minor thing in our estimate compared with the whole business of the group. Well, I think so far as I know, nothing is approved. I think it's, that has to pass a very long process, an uncertain process as well in the chambers, which we will see what is the result. So, and of course, our projection for next years will be based in whatever should be a real at that time. So now, for the time being, it's not real; it's nothing in hand. It's just rumors and noises, but nothing is concrete. In the moment will be completed, we introduce in our expectation, in our projection. But now we have much more thing to include in our projection than this tax itself. But it's still uncertain that that will happen, or will happen in the same manner it happened. So it's a long, long process. We have to be passed to the chambers still.
Demand is currently one of the topics that has more market focus. The audience is sending questions about whether the demand is recovering and which are the key drivers for a future demand increase in Spain and in other markets. Are data centers a game changer in the electricity demand? What would be the role of Iberdrola in this field?
So I think we are seeing that they are increasing the demand in all markets. I think we show in our numbers of distribution electricity in all countries is growing 2-3%. Traditionally, we are growing in Brazil and not growing so much in the rest of the countries. Now it's growing almost in all of them. So it's mostly is things of the electrification of residential and industrial uses. In which industrial uses, certain data center is an important driver in some countries. But there are other drivers as well, which is electric vehicles, which is as well transforming. The massive use of heat pumps for cooling and heating homes. And I think in another one, I think very many digital processes, now we are electrified. So I think there are certain of them. Data centers, a huge consumption because it's 24/7. So which I think, by the way, Iberdrola is very well positioned because we can already provide this 24/7 supply to the data centers thanks of our pumping facilities, our hydro, our green solar, etc., etc. So our point on this one is on the case of data center, that is one of the reasons we would like to facilitate. I think we would like to help to our main customers, which now are already these technological companies, but we would like to help because we would like to facilitate and to increase the demand with that represent. That's why we are already in this business, not because we are discovering the now this business itself, but I think it's part of one of our drivers for helping to increase the electricity demand, as we are doing with the charges, with the agreement we have already with BP for expanding charges in different geographies, because at the end it's facilitating the electrification. But all the trends makes the electrification, is the word which is being used by the director of International Agency, we are coming to the century of the electrification, which I think we are seeing that is becoming a reality.
Next is on fashion again. Also on data centers, what is your opinion of the use of nuclear facilities, including SMRs, to supply these data centers?
So I think data centers, as I mentioned, is 24/7. I think you need already to work 24 hours, 7 days a week, 360 days a year. So I think you need already to have a very, very strong redundancies. So I think it's not a question only to have a power plant which is already providing a few hours per annum, which can be the solar, a few hours per annum, some more, which is the onshore, or much more hours per annum, which can be offshore. But I think you need already to provide this in a continuous basis and to have already an alternative redundant system. Nuclear is providing 6,000, 7,000 a year, so which I think they provide this one, not 24/7, but close to 24/7. So, but the thing offshore is as well providing close to this 24/7, which is 5,000 hours or something like that. But I think nuclear is clearly can be a solution, no doubt, where the energy policy allows us to do so. So in terms of technically, I think it's possible in Europe to extend the life of the existing nuclear power plant. I think it's another ones are making other countries to extend life up to 80 years, so I think there are not any reason why the European ones cannot be extended as well as have been extended the United States ones. But I think that require a economic analysis and as well to have already energy policy which allow us to make that one and to make attractive to make this extension of life. But I think I insist, in the case of Iberdrola, we have the alternative 24/7 as well. If the policy allows us to extend, we will be ready if the economics is already make attractive this extension. Technically, it's possible, and I think I understand perfectly why certain countries is already allowing to do so, because I think that is a source of energy, of electricity. In a moment, the demand of electricity is growing in all the market and expected to grow even more. I think related to small modular reactors, we know the system of those one for a few years. I think most of them are in the phase of demonstration project. And I think my opinion, I think many years ago since I studied engineering, nuclear engineering, so probably I'm not very much updated. But as far as I know, still is not in solution at great scale, but I think they are going to be probably by the end of the decade. So I think what I read already is certain of things which has been sign and agree is reactors will be in service by 2035, something else. So I think it's by the middle of the next century. But certain will be a solution, as another one is as well. Then it's a question of cost efficiency. So if it's more, this is more efficient than other alternative that will be used. If it's less efficient, then it will be used. So, and I think that my positive thing on that one is that the lone lights of the technology companies which are already trying to secure their electricity needs for longer and longer period. We have seen the appetite of those companies for signing PPAs, and they would like to have secure then all our efforts in the digitalization and the opportunities they are seeing in the artificial intelligence in all this world are such, and they would like to secure the energy sources for the next 15, 20, or 30 years. And I think they are signing with us offshore, they are signing with us onshore, they are signing with us pumping storage, they are signing already nuclear in the countries where they are not on other facilities.
Next is prices and energy sales in Spain and UK. Could you comment on what percentage of production you have locked in for 2025 and 2026 for Spain and UK, and at what level of prices?
Armando?
Good morning. In Spain, the entire production to be sold in this year, 2025, is already committed. For 25, it's committed 85% and 75% for 2026. Prices are slightly better than 2024 this year and also slightly better than our expectations. In the UK, we have committed all our production this year and around 80% from the years 25-26, and prices again are similar to 2024, similar as our expectation.
Next is regarding the supply chains. The presentation highlights the investment in the offshore business. And are you seeing any bottleneck in the suppliers' materials, especially from the vessels? Are Chinese suppliers a reality today? Can they compete with European manufacturers?
So we are aware of the limitation of the availability of vessels to install some specific component, not for all, but especially for foundation. I think every day foundation are much bigger, and I think the availability of vessels we can deal with such a huge foundation is we are having some restriction for offshore. We have already, as I mentioned, the availability of the vessels for the three projects we have under construction. And we are closing the contract for the new projects in UK and US, which we expect to have already all those one fully signed by this quarter, so the last quarter of 2024. I think we are in advance. But I think for those which in construction, we are fully secure those one in this one. I have to say that we are already being one of our, let's say, key competitive advantage. We have been planning in advance all our, with anticipation, all our supply chain. We have standardized very many of our components, and that is already facilitating and securing our supply. Related to Chinese manufacturers, we have not component with Chinese manufacturers. I think we are satisfied with the existing one. With those one has been our traditional one, Siemens, Gamesa, Vestas, etc. But we've been working together for more than 20 years. As you know, the procurement of turbines is not an easy thing. It's a complex process with not only the turbine itself, it includes logistics, guarantees, maintenance. That is very different of solar panels. Solar panel, you go to the warehouse and you buy a panel and you install for your own. I think that is much more complex. A real engineering work will require a tremendous skill and expertise. We have hundreds of engineers dedicated to that one. So I think it's not easy for a new vendor to come into the supply chains without passing through all these approvals, all the tests, and to give the security and the certainty, then all this related, not only the product itself, but the logistics, the guarantees, the maintenance, the support, etc., works properly.
Next is a traditional one. Are you planning another M&A transaction in the horizon?
So I think we have enough with the implementation and the integration of ENW in this moment to build already all this new project we have already won in the last few months. So I think for the time being, we are focused on that one, and we are working hard in this integration. We are not already in this moment in another one.
A couple of questions to Pepe. First is, could you give some more color on the non-recurring items, 254 million in the financial results, and which is the level of FFO net debt or net debt EBITDA you feel comfortable in 2025 and 2026?
Okay, so let me try to explain first. The first part is the, I would say, the 484 million, which is linked to FX and to other things. 230 million is linked to FX derivatives. A lot of that, as I have mentioned, have to do with the Mexican transaction. So the positive impact at the financial level is fully compensated at the tax level. Take into account that we have to pay taxes for this transaction in Mexico. So our tax item is growing 740 million euros. A lot of that has to do with Mexico. And more than 200 million of the growth of this tax has to do with the impact, the FX impact in the taxes that we have to pay. So all in all, I have to say that despite that you see 230 million linked to FX derivatives, the FX contribution in 2024 is 50 million lower than the FX contribution that we had in 2023. So despite what you see, the FX contribution this year is lower than what we had last year. And then we have 254 million that is linked to capitalized interest and one-offs. Of this 254, 150 are capitalized interest. Take into account that this group is every year investing more and more. And as we invest more and more, part of this cost, financial cost, is capitalized. So that is one of the reasons. And the other is that we've seen higher interest rates and the tax of the interest at what we capitalize this interest is slightly higher than in previous years. So that explains 150 million out of the 254 million. Then we have another 50 million that is linked to regulatory assets. A lot of it related to debt collections. When you are not collecting debt, especially in networks, you get paid by the regulator. So that is a part of the 50 million, an important part of the 50 million of regulatory assets. And then there is some 50 million that are miscellaneous and some positive financial impact given the court sentences that we have been receiving that we have to account part at the levied levels and part at the financial cost of delay of the payment is linked to the financial income. But I would say at least 150, at least 250 million is linked to either capitalized interest and regulatory assets, especially debt collections delays.
And regarding the
Regarding the, well, I think that we are comfortable at levels of somewhere 22%-23%. And this is how we are expecting to end the year. That gives us a very comfortable BBB+ ratio given the profile of the group.
I'm trying to be on time. Last question is related to the Draghi plan. Have you gone through the Draghi plan, and what do you believe is the role of the electrification in it? How much of it do you believe could be implemented?
So I think the energy transition, he mentioned already clearly, is an opportunity for Europe. So I think we need already in Europe more electricity, more energy security, more independence in our supply of electricity after the shocks. We have already the crisis we have suffered the last few years. I think this needs that can help to increase the competitiveness of Europe. I think he's mentioned already better prices. Better prices mean less taxes, less charges, a better mix of power generation, so less fossil dependence to avoid volatility. And I think is that gave as well another thing is the opportunity for industrial deal in Europe. So transforming the economy in economy more, let's say, clean is opportunities for new industries, opportunities for new jobs, and that is what European Union is working now with this industrial deal we would like to present in a hurry. And the consequence of that one is the carbonization. I think is the Draghi, what he's saying, Draghi, and I think another day on the investment summit of UK was similar thing. I think it's a clear opportunity through the electrification and to use the energy transition for improving the European innovation, to improve the European competitiveness, to improve the European autonomy, and the consequence is that decarbonize also our economy. I think new jobs, new industries, and I think that is what the report of Draghi has mentioned, and the British is already looking for as well in the same direction. And that is what this, the International Agency is mentioned already in the last report. So more demand of electricity than expected, and more opportunities for those countries which are moving in fast, and they're moving in the right direction.
Okay, still there are a few pending questions that will be answered by us, the IR team. Now, please, let me now give the floor to Mr. Galán again to conclude this event.
So, thank you very much again for taking part on this conference call. I hope that we have already replied all your questions, and in any case, our investor relation team will be available for clarifying whatever additional information you may require. Thank you very much, and see you soon. Thank you.